The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Well, I'm strapped into the radio seat here in front of my microphone. I've got a cup of coffee in my right hand, Word of God at my left hand, some notes that I've made on the screen in front of me, and we're coming to you live from the Truth Infusion broadcast studios from deep in the heart of Redwater, Texas, and it's very exciting to have this opportunity. I tell you, I never dreamed or imagined a year ago that God would have me in this place right now, sending out teaching and preaching through the radio waves, through the internet. I'm telling you, I'm floored when I think about it. It's an amazing opportunity for me, and hopefully it's an amazing opportunity for you. I pray that what God puts on my heart to share with you is a benefit to you. And I'm going to go back to a study that we started a few weeks ago, and I kind of got away from it to do some things that I had scheduled to do here in the studio with some guests, had my father in for a little bit, and we had a great time with that. And right now what I want to do is I want to get back to a study that we were doing out of the sixth chapter of Romans. And I said this before, so I want to review a little bit. It's been a few weeks since we've done this, so I want to give a little bit of review on this study. And then we're going to get back into where we left off. So if you're able to, if you're not riding in your car and you're at a desk or at your home, get your Bible out. Go get it for the next few minutes. I'm gonna just do some background here. But you go get your Bible and turn to the sixth chapter of Romans, and I'm going to take a sip of this coffee. That's good. Now, here's what we're doing. Romans chapter 6, in my opinion, is one of the most important chapters in the entirety of the Word of God. And I do not hesitate when I say that. To me, the understanding, the revelation that comes from it is so powerful, so necessary, because what we get in the sixth chapter of Romans is a breakdown in understanding the sin nature. Now, a lot of you would say, David, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I don't have that anymore. Well, a lot of preachers preach that. A lot of Bible teachers teach that. A lot of denominations will lead their listeners, their followers, to believe that once we're saved, that our sin nature is done, it's gone away, it's disappeared. The only problem with that is that the Bible doesn't teach it. So if you want to go that route, preacher of the Word, and it's hard to even say preacher of the Word, because if you're teaching people that the sin nature is gone, some people even go as far as to say we don't sin anymore. Well, how blind do you have to be, or how much do you have to just be willingly ignoring the truth? But some teach that the sin nature is done away with. Well, the problem I have with that is rooted strongly in the sixth chapter of Romans. Why would the apostle of grace, why would Paul teach this church, this fledgling church in Rome, a whole chapter's worth of in-depth doctrinal teaching if it was gone away? Why wouldn't he just preach and teach salvation, and then once you have that, the sin nature is done away with? The truth is, in the sixth chapter of Romans alone, Paul refers to the sin nature 17 times in this teaching. And what I believe is this. I believe that this chapter, that the teaching that is found here is some of the most undertaught, underexplained information in the Word, and it's vastly important, because in the sixth chapter of Romans specifically, and what I want to do with this teaching is teach on through, I think, about verse 14 or so. What we have here is an explanation of how the sin nature works, and more importantly, how the Holy Spirit works. And what happened at the cross that broke the power of the sin nature in our lives. Now, David, you just said that the teaching that the sin nature is gone is wrong. You just contradicted yourself. No, I want you to understand this. The sin nature is not disappeared because we come to the Lord, but our relationship to the sin nature has definitely and permanently, eternally changed. And when we begin to understand what I like to call the enemy within, what we are able to do is begin to grasp and understand with the revelation power of the Holy Spirit how we relate to that enemy, our sin nature, what effect it has on us, how we affect it, what the Holy Spirit has to do with this whole thing, how our faith in what Christ did on Calvary makes all the difference. And ultimately, listen to this, ultimately we learn how to live a victorious Christian life. I was speaking with a very good friend of mine just today, and he had some questions that he was posing to me to see if I could help give him some insight. Hopefully I did. I hope I shared with him a few things. But what I'm talking about now is ultimately and basically the whole premise of our conversation that I had with this man, and it is this. A great many Christians today, I want to say 9 out of 10, and that is the vast majority of Christians today, I believe, are living in struggle, in defeat. They are saved. They love the Lord. They want better for their lives. They know the Bible says they should have better, but they're struggling, and they don't understand why. One of the main reasons, I believe, is because the teaching that comes from Romans, specifically the chapters 6, 7, and 8, are very untaught and very misunderstood. So that's why this teaching, this study we're doing in the 6th chapter of Romans is so important. So here's what I want to do. We're going to get in today. We're going to start in verse 5. Maybe get through verse 7. I'm taking it slow because you can't blow past this. You miss so many jewels. The treasure here is just amazing. And you've got to have it. So I want to pray real quick, and then I want to get into this study. I want to take off where we left. We finished through verse 4 the last time we were here. And let me say this. If you've missed this so far and you say, well, I'm coming in the middle of a study. I don't want to do that. I'm going to just turn the channel. Don't turn the channel. Hear me out. This is just a 30-minute show, and I've already burned through several minutes. So we're going to have just a few minutes of study here. Here's what you can do. All of these are posted on the website, truthinfusion.com. If you will go to truthinfusion.com, go to the radios tab, you can listen to all of the past shows on the sin nature. And I upload a new one every week. They're all there. You haven't missed a thing. You can get all these and you can listen to them 10 times if you need to grasp what the Holy Spirit is teaching. And then you'll be up to date and you can keep moving forward with us. Don't miss this. I'm telling you, when I received understanding of this teaching in my personal life, my Christian life took off exponentially. I want to say that again. When I understood Romans chapter 6 and the sin nature teaching, how it works, how I affect it, what the Holy Spirit is doing through Romans chapter 6, when I began to grasp what this means, and I'm still learning it, but when I began to grasp this, my Christian walk, my Christian experience blasted off like a rocket. It was the catalyst that made all the difference to me personally. I'm not just teaching you theology here. I'm teaching you from personal experience what changed my heart, and I've seen it change the lives of others. I've seen it. Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would take what we do here for the next few minutes. Send the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, the one that can take words of a mere man and transform them into a divine revelation that changes our hearts. I ask that you would change hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, another sip of the coffee, and we're gonna take off real quick summary of what we got in verses 1-4. If I could summarize this in an interesting way to help you understand, what we're learning here and what we've taught in the previous ones is really a divine surgery that takes place in the life of a human being. God performs a supernatural surgery on our hearts that is, it is really what happens when we hear the verse that in Romans chapter 6 that the old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. This is what it's talking about. Let me break this down for you real quick. The divine surgery happens in two parts, two phases that the great surgeon, we undergo this surgery and we're never the same. And this happens at the point of our salvation. But until someone teaches you this, we don't know it. You know, we can't know what we haven't been taught. We need a preacher. We need a teacher. We need the Holy Spirit, who's ultimately the preacher and the teacher, to explain this to us. The first phase of the divine surgery is what I call the sin nature ectomy. Okay? Are you following me? The sin nature ectomy. We're born with the sin nature that is the controller, the overseer, the master, the slave driver, if you will, of our life. We do what it says. Before we come to the Lord, we have no other option. It dominates us. It controls our thinking. It controls our actions. The best we can do before we're saved is try to apply some willpower to say no to the things we don't think we need in our lives, but it is just a matter of time before that comes slamming back into our life and just rubs our faces in the dirt, if you will. We are ultimately controlled by the sin nature and have no way to get away from it. We cannot. But at the point of salvation, at the point of justification, and we're going to go into that, the J word here in just a few minutes when we get into verses 6, I think. But when that justification, that salvation thing happens, in the spiritual sense, we have, I'm just going to call it a sin nature ectomy. And here's really what happens. God disengages the sin nature as our power source, our spiritual governor in our life. He pulls the plug on the sin nature. Doesn't remove it from our lives. It's still there, but because of what Christ did at the cross, God yanks the cord out of the wall. The power is gone from the sin nature now. The power is broken. For the first time in your existence, you are no longer bound to follow the demands of your sin nature any longer. The old man, the old nature is passed away. We do not have to follow that anymore. And that's what Paul was talking about in verse 2 when he says that we no longer have the same relationship to the sin nature. It's changed. That's phase 1. Phase 2 happens at the same time. See, God's a good surgeon. He's a pretty amazing surgeon. He can do all kinds of things in a moment. Phase 1 takes place as he disengages the sin nature. And then the second phase takes place, the divine nature implant. All right, that's phase 2 of the surgery. The divine nature implant, where the divine nature or the Holy Spirit is imparted into our life. So do you see the picture here? This is what Romans chapter 6 is saying over and over, especially through verses 7 or so. God's making this case through the Apostle Paul. The sin nature's power is broken. You don't have to serve the sin nature anymore. Verses 11 and 12, we're going to underline that when we get to it. You don't have to serve it anymore. But secondly, and more importantly, the divine nature, the Holy Spirit, is now implanted, and it has become the overriding governor, the overseer, the new master of your life. You don't have to follow the sin nature any longer. You now have the opportunity, the option, to allow the Holy Spirit to be the driving force, the master of your life. Now, when we come back, we're going to start in verse 5 of Romans chapter 6. You come right back on the other side of the break.
Hey, this is Tim. I'm the youth pastor at Partnership Church. I have a quick truth for you today. Jesus tells us in the book of John, chapter 10, starting with verse 10, that the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have came that you may have life and have life more abundantly. Another translation puts it like this: I have come so that you may have life in super abundance. Now, if you're like me, some days my life does not feel very abundant. While seeking God about this, I felt He gave me three keys to unlock the door to a more abundant life. First is prayer. You have to communicate with the Father. Secondly, simple obedience. If He's telling you to do something, just do it. Thirdly, show love and compassion. I have found that through showing love towards someone else, I receive it tenfold. If you're listening today and you want to experience life in more super abundance, I would encourage you to consider these three keys. For more information, please check us out at partnershipchurch.com. And while you're there, check out our youth page at Break Free Youth Ministries.
I have a little assignment for you. I want you to go to truthinfusion.com. If you look on the homepage, you'll see the area where you can put your information in to receive our monthly newsletter. Now, this will give you all the recent updates and the things going on in the ministry so that you'll know what to pray for and what to expect in the upcoming days and weeks from Truth Infusion. God bless you. Until next time, you keep seeking the truth. All right, Truth Seekers, welcome back. And I've spent the first half of this show kind of in review, telling you why this study is vastly important to you, and then kind of giving an illustration of what this sixth chapter of Romans, especially the beginning verses, discusses and underlines, and that is the divine surgery that takes place. We're going to start now in verse 5. So I want to read this, and then we want to tear this verse apart a little bit and begin to teach you exactly what the Holy Spirit was giving Paul and what Paul has blessed us with. Here's what verse 5 says. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. One more time, if you're riding in your car, I want to read it to you one more time. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, Christ's death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. First word I want to discuss is the word if. Little word can carry big meaning. Here's what I want you to know about it. If your translation, and I like the King James, the New King James, if your translation says if, bad translation of the Greek word there. Here's the better word. This better explains what the Holy Spirit was saying through Paul. Instead of if, say since. The word since. Since we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. Same word of if. The if word there is used in Romans 8:31. It's a verse that many of you are familiar with. If God be for us, who can be against us? Okay, let's take the if out. We know if God is for us, no one can be against us. And the better translation there is since. Makes a powerful verse even that much more powerful. Since God is for you, no one can be against you. The word if here is better said since. So, since we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. Now, if you will recall, a few verses ago in verse 3, Paul begins to talk about being baptized. Don't you know that those of you who are baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? And what I taught when we were on verse 3 was that that word baptized confuses a lot of people. It's better translated to be placed into Christ. And really the picture that God's painting here is that when we were saved, we were placed into what I call a vital union with Jesus. Let me give you some other words that'll help you understand. Joined, combined, merged, grafted into, infused into, melted together. If you're married, you've heard this one, made one flesh. In the eyes, in the mind of God Almighty, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were made, He made us one flesh with His Son. He joined us together in one flesh. And in verse 5, when it says, since we have been planted together, that's what it's referring to. Since we have been joined together, merged together with Christ. And this is not just figurative. I'm telling you, in the mind of God, this has happened. For you, this has taken place. You have been merged together. In the mind of God, in the heart of God, you are now one flesh with His Son. And that's when we went into talking about the fact that we were placed into His death because we're one flesh with Him. God sees us as having died on that cross. We were placed into His burial. As Jesus was placed in that tomb and the stone was rolled there, so was our body of sin in God's eyes placed into that tomb because we are one flesh, planted together, grafted together with Christ. And when He came walking out of that tomb in resurrection life, God saw you and I come walking out of that tomb, resurrected to the glory of God the Father, because we are made one with Christ through the salvation that we have accepted, through placing our faith in the resurrection, the power of Jesus Christ. So that's what verse 5 is saying. For if you have been planted together, and we have, since you have been planted together in the likeness of His death. There it is again, just like in verse 3 and 4. If you've been baptized with Christ, you've been baptized into His death. He's repeating Himself. We have been placed into the likeness of His death. Here's the effect. The rest of verse 5. We shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. So it's just underscoring what He taught us in more detail in verses 3 and 4, we've been placed together in His death. We've been placed together in His resurrection. I want you to understand that so we can move to verse 6. Because here's where we're going to get into some good teaching. Now listen to this. Let me read you verse 6. Knowing this. Knowing what? Knowing what I just said. Knowing what Paul just wrote in verse 5. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, okay, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Remember me talking about the divine surgery? What was the first phase? Sin, nature, ectomy. Before you got saved, you had no other option but to be dominated by your sin nature. You need to know this, though. Since your salvation, you no longer have to do that. Why, David? Because God, in His eyes and mind, saw you hanging on the cross where Jesus was. He was our substitutionary death. And an amazing thing happened there. Your body of sin was destroyed, just like Christ's body was destroyed through the crucifixion process to the point of His death. So was your body of sin destroyed in the eyes and the mind of God. That's why the power of the sin nature is broken, because every sin that you have committed, that you will commit in your lifetime, has been dealt with, handled, and destroyed, done away with, paid for. The price has been paid for every single sin. So the body of your sin has been destroyed. And what is the effect? If the body of sin is destroyed, then we don't have to serve the sin nature any longer. Now, the last word in verse 6 is sin. It says that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, I told you, every single time, apart from one time that Paul says sin in Romans chapter 6, it's better translated the sin nature. So what does this better say? That henceforth we should not serve the sin nature any longer. Now, let's talk about this. Use the term in verse 6, the old man. Okay? Let's discuss that. Because this is a great word picture that God wants you to understand. The word old. it's used in the sense that it's more or less worn out, useless, fit for the junk pile. That old man, that old thing that you used to be, is a worthless thing to you. Okay? The word man, it's open gender, man or woman. The old man, the old woman, that useless, worn out, it's no good to you. It's not going to function for you. It's not going to do anything good for you. The person we were before Jesus was depraved, unregenerated, could not help itself. It's not worth our time. It's not helpful to us. It's old, and it's now done away with. What about the phrase body of sin that it used there? Let me read it to you again. In verse 6, for knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That word body is describing the human physical body. And sin here in the Greek was written in what's called the genitive of possession. Here's what that means. The physical body of a man or woman that was owned by the sin nature. Got it? The body was a slave to its sin. That's why I was saying that before you're saved, you have no control of yourself. You're controlled by the sin nature. Because the old man, the old woman, was a slave. And the word, the Greek description here bears that out. That word sin means, it carries with it the idea of possession, to own. That your old body was owned by the sin nature. It was its slave. Then it uses the word destroyed. Now, this word destroyed doesn't mean annihilated or demolished like we were saying earlier in verse 2, I believe, kind of made this same analogy. It doesn't mean that it was demolished or annihilated. It rather means that it was made inactive, inoperative. Like I said, it was like the power source was removed. The plug was unplugged from the wall. The body of the sin was made inactive, and it was disengaged from its power source. So here's what that culminates to. And I know I've said a lot of words, I've discussed a lot of different little phrases, but what does it amount to? It amounts to Romans chapter 6, verse 7. And this is one of the more powerful verses in the Bible. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 simple words in verse 7 says this: for he who is dead is freed from sin. For he who is dead is freed from sin. That word "is freed" means to justify, justification, salvation, to be declared righteous, to acquit of all charges, to absolve of all charges, to be called perfect, holy, innocent in the eyes of God. You are justified, and whoever is justified by God is freed from the sin nature. And that's powerful. I don't know if you know this, but let me tell you, if you're saved, you have been freed from your sin nature. You don't have to serve it any longer. Come back with me next week as we continue this teaching. And until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.